Friend, I'm excited about today's word entitled, The War for Restoration. This is the final message in our sermon series, Lifetime, Trusting God Through the Navigation of Life. My prayer is that this message encourages you to know that whatever you lost in the fight, God can restore unto you everything that was lost, and He can give you more of Himself. This is the war for restoration. Go get back what you lost. Here's the message. God bless you. 1 Samuel chapter 30. We're going to begin at verse 1. Then it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had made a raid on the Negev and burned it with fire. They overthrew Ziklag as well, and they took captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great, without killing anyone. That's interesting. They didn't kill anyone. And carried them off and went their way. When David and his men came to the city, behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voice and wept until there was no strength in them to weep. Now David's two wives had been taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. Moreover, here it is, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him. For all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. For a few moments, friends, I just simply want to speak to you from the subject, the war for restoration. The war for restoration. Pray with me. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for all that you do, who you are. We pray, God, that you might speak peace in the midst of trouble, that you might speak blessing over this word, and that as it goes forth to your people, that you might enlighten us, refresh us, and give us more of your spirit. Thank you, Father, for the word, and we thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray, and let all of God's children say, amen. The war for restoration. Whenever there is a life-altering tragedy, whether it be something like 9/11 or something like the Boston bombings we just experienced recently, or maybe a personal tragedy in your life, there seems to always be a period of mourning, of distress, followed by a push for restoration. We're going to have a period in which we grieve, but we also want to get beyond the grieving to the restoration. Restore unto us what we lost. Give us back our sense of comfort, our sense of security, our sense of freedom. Give us back, here it is, our sense of trust in you, God. Because what has happened to us has indeed devastated us. We are at the point in David's life where he has not yet become king, but his men have come on a three-day journey back to their home base at Ziklag, only to find that it has been utterly destroyed by the Amalekites. Now, I want to talk to you about the Amalekites for a moment, because the Amalekites in Scripture are individuals who are known for two particular things. They were known for their cowardice and for their cruelty. They were warriors, yeah, but they were not noble warriors. They didn't fight fair. They picked on the least. They picked on the vulnerable. So therefore, in Scripture, they were known as cruel and cowardly. If you recall in Exodus chapter 17, when the people of Israel were wandering through the deserts, it was the Amalekites that attacked those who were the most vulnerable of the Israelite clan. As they were wandering through the desert, the Amalekites attacked the most vulnerable, those who were the women, the children, those who were struggling through the desert. And they treated them cruelly. That's one of the reasons that Moses organized the tribe of Israel, the people of Israel, into 12 tribes. So that as they were wandering, as they were living, the weak could have a community to surround them so that they could be comforted and protected. So the Amalekites were cruel people. But we also need to understand something about the home base at Ziklag. The people are coming from the Philistine army. David is not yet king. Saul is trying to kill him. He comes 3 days back home. Now let me tell you something about Ziklag. Ziklag was the place at which David was first blessed. After he was anointed and after Saul began to pursue him, the Bible says that the Philistine king named Achish gave David a territory on the southern border of Judah called Ziklag. Ziklag was strategic because it was the place from which David could attack his enemies at a moment's notice. It was the hub for attack for David. And so David thought that it was secure enough of a territory that he could have his wives come live there, that he could have the army of his men live there, and their wives and their families. Ziklag was a blessing for David. And the Bible says that the Amalekites attacked at Ziklag. Now watch this. It was at Ziklag in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 22, that David was given his army. And the Bible says in verse 22 that the army that was given to David was just like an army of the Lord. It was his home base. Let me tell you what Ziklag is in your life. Ziklag is the place from which your blessings are birthed. Ziklag essentially is the hub that God uses to give you more of himself in your everyday existence. Your thoughts and your ideas about that corporation that you want to begin, that you want to start or begin, comes from the hub of Ziklag. That God gives you the idea, and the idea is birthed into the promise. The idea of Ziklag, the place of Ziklag in your life, is the place from which God begins to bless you. God gives you the home base at Ziklag. God gives you security at Ziklag. God gives you the source at Ziklag. So from Ziklag, you can go out, expand his kingdom, and do that which he's called you to do at Ziklag. But let me tell you who the Amalekites are in your life. The Amalekites are the people in your life who steal from you the greater things that God has for you, watch this, when you are the weakest. They are the girlfriends that give you the bad advice when you're already hurting and down. They are the Amalekites in your life. They are your homeboys that when you're already in a mess, they get you in more of a mess. They are the Amalekites in your life. They are your coworkers that try to throw you under the bus when they feel like you are down, out, and already weak. And they try to get your position. Why? Because they don't have the position. They know you have Ziklag. They know you have the source of God's strength. Therefore, they're going to throw you under the bus every opportunity they get a chance. They are your Amalekites. The Amalekites are the people in your life or the structures and the systems that oppress the weak of society. They are those people that seek financial gain off of those who are the weakest. They are the Amalekites. We have the Amalekites and we have Ziklag. And watch this, the Amalekites have attacked David, not in Judah, but they have attacked him at Ziklag. Because Ziklag is the source of the blessing. And if the enemy can attack the source of the blessing, then he can cut off the big idea and he can cut off the blessing. There's no need for going to Jerusalem. There's no need for going to the other kingdoms. I'm going to attack you at Ziklag, because if I can get Ziklag, then I've got you. And so they attack him at Ziklag. And the Bible says, as the men are coming back from a 3-day journey, they get to Ziklag only to find that it has been utterly destroyed, and the women and the children and all that is great and small in Ziklag has been taken captive. They were on their way to have a good time with the family under the assumption that the family would be there. And all of a sudden, destruction. Now, what's interesting to me when I read this text, that the Amalekites attacked Ziklag, they burned the village, but they didn't kill anybody. Now, one would tell me If they attacked the village, if they wanted to wipe out the race of people who were in lineage and in line with David and his army, then they would have at least killed somebody. But the Bible says that they take them captive. They take them hostage. Let me tell you something about what God can do to the hearts even of your enemies. God can take the most cold heart, and he can even move on the coldest of people, even when they seek to destroy you. And though they may not fully take you out, God can shift their intentions. And so that had to be a divinely inspired act. So the Bible says they don't kill anybody, but the Israelites come to Ziklag. They see everything destroyed, but their perception is that everything is dead. They are operating on a perception of what has happened without full knowledge of what has really occurred. All they see is the destruction. They don't know that their relatives are still alive. And so because all they see is the destruction, they become distressed. And sometimes even the perception of a dream lost can be worse than the loss of a dream itself. And if you can just get me, if you can get me to perceive that you have defeated me, then maybe that's worse than defeating me at all. If you can get me to not believe in myself enough to go after the business, to go after the education, to go after the church ministry, if you can get me to think that I can't do it or to think that I'm defeated, then you can cut off the entire dream. And so they had the perception of defeat, but their people were still alive. And watch this, sometimes even the perception of defeat can stop us from being who God has called us to be. Because you're not operating in the sphere of trust, but we're operating in the sphere of fear. And once you get in the sphere of fear, then the devil has you, and the enemy can do what he wants with you. And the Bible says that the people were greatly distressed. They were mourning. They were crying. These great men of valor, until, watch this, they could weep no more. Have you ever been in a point where you thought your dream was stripped and you just couldn't cry about it anymore? And now they're at the point where they're so broken, they're so battered, they're so bruised, they're so abused, they are so distressed, everything has been taken from them, they're looking to God for answers, nothing is coming, and the Bible says they turn from their distress with each other to trying to stone David. Because obviously, David, it's your fault that we're in this predicament. Because if you had not put out war on the Amalekites, then perhaps, David, they would not have come after us. And the Bible says that David becomes greatly distressed. What do you do when your distress looks so bad, the situation is so adverse, that it does not seem like there will ever be daylight at the end of a dark tunnel? What do you do? And I can imagine David as he's greatly distressed, because watch this, David has now entered into the place where great men and great women of the Bible have had to enter in order to claim their greatness. If you recall Abraham had to deal with the burden of having to sacrifice his own son Isaac before the Lord. He had to trust and have faith in God that God would bring him through. If you recall Jacob wrestled with God all night long, and even to the point he thought his brother Esau was going to kill him, and God made him take the long, hard road of reconciliation and forgiveness. If you recall Mary, a virgin young lady, 16 years of age, and the Bible says an angel of the Lord spoke to her, saying, "Mary, you shall conceive not of man, but of the Holy Spirit, and you will bear a son who shall be the Savior of the world." And Mary had to deal with the ridicule of society in order to birth the greatest Savior we've ever seen. If you recall Jesus Christ, who had to walk down the long, hard road of Calvary in order to get to his greater glory on the cross, only to make it to Sunday on the third day, rising from the grave, David is now in a predicament where he has to remember everything all the great men and women of the Bible have had to go through in order to get to their blessing. And David now is at a crossroads in his ministry. And God is saying, it's about time, David, for you to take the throne, but now I've got to test you. I've got to see, David, if you're ready. If you're ready, watch this, for the blessing. And anybody who wants to be great, God will prepare you for the blessing, and God will have to take you through a series of life, perhaps life-altering events. God may have to use you, put you into some situations that you have to make a choice to trust him. And David is now in this particular predicament. And now he says, watch this, God, I'm greatly distressed. I don't know what I'm going to do. God, all of a sudden, my family's taken away from me. God, all of a sudden, I feel like I've done your will, God. I feel like I've done all you called me to do. I've been a faithful servant to Saul, even though he tried to throw me under the bus. God, I've been in the Philistine camp, and I fought with my enemy. They don't want me to go to war with them now, God, so they push me out. God, I come on a 3-day journey thinking I'm going to be in my homeland with my wife, my children, with their families, and now I come to Ziklag. Ziklag is destroyed. Not only is Ziklag destroyed, God, but now all of my men are distressed. They're worn out. They're upset. Now, God, not only did Saul throw me under the bus, not only did the Philistines throw me under the bus, not only is Ziklag messed up, not only are my men upset, but now, God, they want to kill me. And God, I am at a crossroads where I am so distressed. Lord, what do I do? And I can imagine as David is in this situation that he begins to think a little bit. God, I can't stay down all my life. God, I can't stay here. Lord, I could stay here and wallow in my misery, but God, I know that one day I was in a field as a shepherd boy, and a lion and a bear came to me. And with a slingshot, I protected my sheep. God, I know that one day I was in the field tending to my father's business, and a prophet named Samuel came to me at your command, and he anointed my head with oil as a young man. God, I know that one day I was sent out to give my brothers food because they were fighting the Philistine army. And I know, God, that an uncircumcised Philistine by the name of Goliath stood before your army, Lord, and called us out, saying, who is it that can come and fight me? You call on your God. I am that man who can defeat you. And I stepped out, God, to defeat this uncircumcised Philistine with only one stone, watch this, and a slingshot. God, so I know if you were with me then, I know if you were with me in the battle, I know if you were with me as I cleaned up my tens of thousands. God, I know if you were with me in the storm and in the rain and in the field. God, I know what I've got to do now. I've got to think on all of those things. And watch this. The Bible says that David got up, that David shook himself off, that David got a little unction, that David got a little tenacity. And the Bible says, verse 6, that David strengthened himself in the Lord. Sometimes mama won't be there to strengthen you. Sometimes daddy won't be there to strengthen you. Sometimes your best friends won't be there to strengthen you. Sometimes your pastor won't be there to strengthen you. Sometimes your teacher or your coworker won't be there to strengthen you. But somebody has to have something on the inside that they can draw on, so that when it comes time for the battle, that you can find something and strengthen yourself. Oh my God, I feel like preaching in this thing. And David strengthened himself in the Lord. He didn't need his warriors. He didn't need them to fight the battle. David encouraged himself. Can you encourage yourself at the time that you need encouragement? Can you encourage yourself? But watch this, watch this. David then encourages himself, but the next thing he does is he does what every great person must do after you encourage yourself. He mirrors, watch this, he mirrors the life
of Joshua as Joshua calls unto himself the high priest Eleazar. And the Bible says that after David was strengthened in the Lord, that he called unto himself his high priest Abiathar. And he said, Abiathar, brother, bring me my ephod. Bring me my ephod. Bring me my prayer robe. I don't care how strong you get. I don't care how much tenacity you got after you've fallen or after you've been distressed. If you cannot pray, it was prayer that strengthened David beyond that. He called the high priest, Abiathar. Come on, Abiathar. We got to pray this thing through. And David said, God, shall I go after them? God, what shall I do? God, what is my next move? God, give me the vision. And God said, David, roll with it. Go get them, boys. Because watch this. Everything, not some of it, not a few morsels, but David, everything that you lost, you shall now get back. Oh, I like that about God. In other words, David, I'm about to restore unto you everything that you thought in perception and also in reality that you lost. I'm going to give it back to you 100-fold. Nobody was killed, but now you're going to be restored. Oh, let me close with this. You guys can stay for 11:30 for the extended version. Let me close with this. David, watch this. David strengthened himself. He went to God in prayer. Then he went to war. He says, I understand, God, that you strengthened me, but now I've got to take action and go back and take what was taken from me. And if you are familiar with war in antiquity, not only did they go to war and take back, but they would often, if they defeated the enemy, they would have what were called the spoils of war. And the spoils of war would be all of the extra things that they were blessed with based on their ability to go and defeat the enemy. What I'm trying to tell you, Cascade, is that God has called you to a point that if there's something in your life that you need restoration in, if there's something in your life that you're down and out about, distressed about, or even mad about, God says the first thing I need you to do is to remind yourself about what I've done for you in the past, because what I've done for you in the past is going to predicate what I can do for you in the future, and that's also going to show you how much you can trust me. Because watch this, baby, your problems are simply a prelude to your promise. And more problems you have, the more problems you have, the more God is able and faithful to supply what's in your promise. And if you can strengthen yourself in the midst of your problems and then go to God in prayer after reminding yourself what God has done for you, then God will give you the strength. He'll give you the word. He'll let you go out and get your stuff back. And then watch this. He'll give you extra. Extra. David went back. He got his folks back. He got the spoils of war. He was restored, and he got blessed. I tell you what, we serve a God who's faithful and who will do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. This is the war for restoration. Go get your stuff back. In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit, give God glory in the house for what God is doing.
What a mighty God we serve. Friend, I hope that this message encouraged you. I hope that it spoke to your heart, to your mind, and even to your spirit to know that anything that you have lost, anything that has taken away your strength or has taken away your ability to trust God, that you can get back whatever you lost. I hope this sermon series has blessed you. Know that God is a God who will remain with you for a lifetime. Anything you need, God will supply. As always, we invite you to visit our website at www.kevinmurio.com to get other ministry resources and to get encouragement for the journey ahead. Friend, this is your day. Now is your time. Until next time, God bless you.